In February 2001, when the trial for the embassy bombings began, another opportunity arrived to take the measure of al-Qaeda. The testimony of the prosecution's first witness, Jamal Ahmed al-Fadl, the al-Qaeda defector, marked the high point of interest in the proceedings. Reports about it appeared in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Los Angeles Times, on the major television networks, and from many of America's other leading news-gathering agencies. The reporting on the trial betrayed a complacency about the terrorist threat, and some stories left the reader thinking that al-Qaeda was just not all that fearsome. Near the end of the proceedings, under the headline, "Trial Poked Holes in Image of Bin Laden's Terror Group," Benjamin Weiser of the New York Times wrote, "Before the embassy bombings trial, Osama bin Laden loomed large in the American psyche, a villain of unimaginable evil and sophisticated reach. It was an image fed by destruction done and by American law enforcement eager to drive home the reality of his threat. In some ways, though, it was an image created because so little was known about how he worked. But the trial, which left many of the details of the bombings uncontested, made clear that while Mr. bin Laden may be a global menace, his group, al-Qaeda, was at times slipshod, torn by inner strife, betrayal, greed, and the banalities of life that one might find in any office. To listen to some of the news reports a year or two ago, you would think bin Laden was running a top Fortune 500 multinational company. People everywhere, links everywhere," said Larry C. Johnson, a former deputy director of the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. "What the evidence at trial has correctly portrayed is that it's really a loose amalgam of people with a shared ideology, but a very limited direction." The poo-pooing continued. Just weeks later, Johnson himself lamented on the Times op-ed page that Americans are bedeviled by fantasies about terrorism. "They seem to believe that terrorism is the greatest threat to the United States and that it is becoming more widespread and lethal. They are likely to think that the United States is the most popular target of terrorists. And they almost certainly have the impression that extremist Islamic groups cause most terrorism." Of course, if anything like that were the case, there would have been far less shock on September 11th. But Johnson continued, "None of these beliefs are based in fact. The overall terrorist trend is down. Nor are the United States and its policies the primary target. The greatest risk is clear. If you are drilling for oil in Colombia, or in nations like Ecuador, Nigeria, or Indonesia, you should take appropriate precautions. Otherwise, Americans have little to fear." Although high-profile incidents have fostered the perception that terrorism is becoming more lethal, the numbers say otherwise, and early signs suggest that the decade beginning in 2000 will continue the downward trend. It is time to take a deep breath and reflect on why we are so fearful. Terrorism is not the biggest security challenge confronting the United States, and it should not be portrayed that way. As a display of sheer idiocy, this was hard to beat, and the article remains an ironic epitaph on a period of almost willful ignorance. There was little interest in opposing ideas. In July, we sought to rebut Johnson with an article submitted to the Los Angeles Times. We wrote that it was essential to dispel myths that were taking hold. Citing statistics in the State Department's annual review of terrorist activity, some argued that a moderate decline in the number of terrorist incidents since the late 1980s translates into a diminution in the danger. But that overlooks key changes in the motivation and goals of contemporary terrorists, who see violence as divinely justified. Unlike their predecessors, these terrorists do not seek to enter negotiations, but rather to cause massive casualties. Looking beyond the numbers, the terrorists' modus operandi tells us a great deal. Unsuccessful operations such as those planned for the millennium at LAX and in Jordan would have been far more destructive than most, if not all, of the attacks of the 1980s. The bombing of the World Trade Center, the first major harbinger of the new era, sought to kill tens of thousands by toppling one tower into another. In the years to come, religiously motivated terrorists will continue to try to inflict bloodshed of unprecedented dimensions. The article was accepted for publication, but never appeared. On September 11th, it was still sitting in the queue, waiting to be printed.